Now, I need to say this. Josh is a really good pastor, don't you think? I think he is, yeah. Yeah, he great message last week, really enjoyed it. Really good. And you know, he keeps his place running really well. Now, as a speaker and a guest speaker, I really appreciate getting lots of notice when you have to speak. I like to prepare. I like to, when I'm walking in the mornings, think about what I'm going to say, how I'm going to say it, etc. So Josh is very good at getting speakers and giving them plenty of time, Chris. I like that. He rang me, or he actually text messaged me, or email, whatever it was, written form. Raph, could you share a Sunday in Colossians? Absolutely, no problem. It's in March. Yeah, no worries. So he gave me a date, right? And the first date he gave me was the 6th of March. Right? And I said, yeah, no worries, I'm free. So I wrote it down in the diary, and away we went. Now, you know, I hope you noticed that today's not the 6th, right? I looked up the passage that I was going to be speaking on, and it was about false teaching. No worries. Easy. No worries. Now, I'm also share with a few other men here on the teaching team, and we like to get good guest speakers. And so we encourage Josh to ring good guest speakers. You know. So 2 weeks after, or 2 or 3 weeks after he gave me that date, he rings, you know, tells me, he says, oh, Raph, he says, we can get Neville Evans. Now, Neville's great, all right? He's a great speaker. We can get Neville Evans on March, but he's only available on the 6th. Now, I'm a nice person, all right? Josh says, do you reckon it would be okay if we moved you to the 16th? I said, yeah, no worries. No worries. And Neville did a great job last week. 2 weeks ago. I loved his message on false teaching. It was excellent. No problem. But when I remembered that Josh changed my date, I went to the diary. Now, we use pen and paper, you know, the diaries. Better change the date because I get forgetful. So I changed the date to the 16th, and then it suddenly dawns on me, so I better check what it is I'm speaking about now. So I went and got my Bible, turned it to chapter 3, verse 18, and there it is. Wives, submit to your husbands. And I thought, oh, he's done it to me again. He's done it to me. Yeah, thank you very much. All right, so here we are, another, maybe not controversial, but it's challenging passage, isn't it? But he's a really good preacher, he's a really good pastor. Now I really appreciated your testimony, Jeanette, I really did. I'm an ex-Roman Catholic too, so I know what you're talking about. But you know what stood out to me about Jeanette's testimony? Who was involved in her getting to know God? Who was involved? Was it a pastor? Was it the priest? Oh, maybe a neighbour? But it was just the Word of God. Now, we have said this from this platform so many times. It is powerful because it is the Word of God. It's not my words, not Josh's words, not, you know. It's the Word of God. It's a living Word. It has power to transform lives, individual lives, like we've heard this morning, and you've heard so many testimonies, and you know that the Word of God has changed your life as well. It has power to do that. But not only does it have the power to change and to challenge individuals, but also change homes and households, and that's today's topic, Christian households. Now, it is a controversial passage, especially for today, but it's always been controversial. Now, is Pat here? No. Oh, yeah, he is. That book I gave you. Warren Wiersbe said this. Warren Wiersbe is a great Bible teacher, preacher, American. Oh, well, we won't hold that against him. But this is what he said. He said, as a Christian, but he was really referring to a Christian preacher or someone who shares the word. But even as a Christian, this is true. Declare the truth. Declare the truth. Always declare the truth. It's not easy. It's challenging, and sometimes it'll cost you. But declare the truth, he says. And then he says, defend the truth. Defend the truth. Especially God's truth. And then he said, it's important for a preacher, and really any Christian, if you're interested in sharing your faith, demonstrate that truth. I'm hoping to do that with you this morning. Now, I'm going to say some things that some of you may be upset about, may get offended. I do it in love. I'm telling the truth, God's truth. This is God's word. The same power that saved Jeanette, that revealed to Jeanette God's salvation, revealed to Jeanette who Jesus was and what he did. Same word. And just to highlight that, a lot of people say, oh, Paul was down on women. Well, it's not just Paul that writes this. The Apostle Peter writes a similar thing in 1 Peter chapter 3. It's God's word. All right? It's God's word. Now, you only have to watch the news or read the paper or get a feed from Facebook or something, and you'll see that there's something radically wrong in society, especially in the West, in the Western, not the Western suburbs only, but in the Western world. Something's radically wrong with our society, with our homes, with our homes. It really is. Now, I did a bit of research, and 2021, this is the results of studies and surveys and things and census, in 2020, this is the figures that came up. In Australia, this beautiful land, this blessed land, I love this land. But in Australia, there is 1.068 million homes that only have one parent. It's not a judgment. It's a fact. Nearly 1.1 million homes, that's 15.9%, nearly 16%. That's one in seven. One in seven. Go up the street. One, two, three, four, five, seven. One in seven homes in Australia have just one parent. And of those families, those single parent families, 79.8%, nearly 80% of those families, it's a single mum. Facts. 2021. It's probably worse than that now. In the world, the entire world, the stats are just as compelling. 101.3 million homes have a single parent. That's 8% of all the homes in the world have just one parent. And it's even worse because in the world, 84% of those homes are single mums. Now, there are a lot of issues associated with this fact that there are problems in our homes. That's just talking about a single parent home. There's lots of problems in, mum and dad homes as well. There really is. And most of the focus seems to be associated with financial. It's hard. It's hard going. There's never enough money. And if to get enough money, you have to give so much time away from the family. And there's all sorts of issues. But there's more behavioural issues too that we're seeing and experiencing problems with. There's the structural fibre of society is suffering because of that. And that brings about a lot of emotional and mental health problems and coping problems, coping with life. And it's true. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know or possibly even experience. Now, I know a little bit about stuff like this because when I was a kid, I grew up in a home that wasn't a happy home. There was two parents, but we had problems. So I know this is true. The problem is that what we're experiencing is not what God intended. It's not God's ideal. We cannot blame God for it. We really can't. It's not how God designed it to be. Do you realize that the very first institution that God founded on the earth was the family home? The very first, whatever institution you want to call it, the very first one was the family home, the home, husband and wife. Read about it in Genesis chapter 2. And you know, even the Lord recognized that. He said that when he was talking about divorce and problems in the home, he says, that's not how it was meant to be from the beginning. God intended something different. He had a different design, a different plan. A different plan from the beginning. That's in Matthew 19. And somebody said, I don't know who it was, it possibly is James Dobson, but I'm not sure, but it says, he said, as the home goes, so goes society, so goes the nation. You think about that. That's true, isn't it? Where does it all start? Good or bad, positive or negative, where does it start? It starts in the home. And it does have an impact on our society, where we live. And it does shape the nation. All starts in the home. And we can see today the results of moving away from God's design. We can see the results. We may have even experienced some of them. So this passage talks about husbands and wives. Now, I've got so many of those memes that I share with people from time to time. Special people that won't think bad of me. I like it because, you know, it's so true, isn't it? Don't you think about it? Yeah, it really is. Psychological. There's one psycho and the other one's logical. It's true. I've worked in a lot of homes, let me tell you. And when you're in people's homes for a week or two or three or four, or sometimes even months, the guard drops, you know. Anyway, that's just a bit of humour. I need to have a bit of humour because this is serious stuff. There's a slide there. It's an interesting, I like that slide because that's an illustration of not this passage, a passage we're going to read in a minute, but it's very similar to this passage. Could you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5? Written by the same person, around the same time. Both of these epistles are Paul's prison epistles. There was four of them. So they were written around AD 60, they think. They can't give you an exact date. They don't know exactly which one was written first, but the general consensus is that the order that you find them in your Bible is possibly the way it was written. That's why they put them in like that. So Ephesians comes before Colossians. Did you know that? It does. So I'm going to read to you a passage out of Ephesians 5, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And then it says, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each of you also must love his wife and as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And it goes on, talks about the children and the slaves, just like in Colossians. Now I read you that because it's a little bit more detailed. It's almost verbatim, isn't it, to what is in Colossians. But it does flesh out a little bit what Paul intended when he was to the Colossians. Now, also these letters were meant to be shared between the different churches as well. So, you know, they would have picked up on what Paul was meaning. So it's a little bit more detailed about what it says here in Colossians. And that's helpful because it starts off with verse 21 in Ephesians. It means to submit to one another. So everyone needs. You see that little diagram? That's why I love that diagram. Everyone's underneath the Christ umbrella. So everyone. It's not a group. It's not a specific person. Everyone. Submit to one another. Husbands, to Christ. Wives to husbands. And the reason for that was brought out really well by Josh last week. Christ is the motivating thing. It's the reason we do everything is because of the Lord. And for the Lord. And because we're instructed by the Lord. And in verse 25 in Ephesians, it gives us the example, the imitation, the pattern to follow. What did it say? It said, in this same way, just like the Lord loved, we need to love our wives, just as the Lord loved the church. And then it says, love and respect. That's good, I like that, because it's left the word submit out. It means something. Love and respect. If you don't have that in your home, you've got a problem. And it's ongoing. And it'll escalate. It'll escalate. And I want you to notice that especially in Ephesians there's, it talks about the women submitting to, the wives submitting to the husbands. But Chris, did you notice there's twice as much written about the men loving their wives? Right? Now that means that, you know, while it's important to submit, a lot more focus is given on loving. Yeah? Mm. Keep that in the back of your mind. Now, back to this passage that we're looking at. Verse 18 is often read and understood and interpreted and enacted upon like that. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband that is fitting in the Lord. And, you know, 30 years ago from the platform, they would have spent a number of Sundays talking about that. And probably that's it. And that's not good. Because it has given us a distorted view of what is saying here in the scriptures. Because I've mentioned this before, haven't I? Not everything in your Bible is inspired. Your notes, the little notes that you have, they're not inspired by God. The chapter divisions aren't inspired, right? And neither were the verse numbers. They're not inspired. Helpful, but they're not inspired. And just as an aside there, I really don't like the little subheading here. The subheading's uninspired either, by the way. Sometimes we read them as if they were inspired, but they're not. It says they're rules for the Christian household. No. I don't like that. I don't think it's right. You know what it should be if you're going to have a subheading? Responsibilities. Responsibilities in the Christian household. Because when you look at that passage, it's not rules. It's the wives are responsible. The husbands are responsible. The children are responsible. The slaves, it's a little bit different, the slavery thing there. We're probably not going to get time to cover it today. They're responsible too. Hence, my subheading, all right? Responsibility. But often we forget God's view. You see, even though they're two sentences, it's one thought. God's giving us one thought here. Because what does it say when a man and a woman come together? What do they become? Two separate entities with different bank accounts and we keep your own name. And No. God sees it as one. A man takes on a wife and they become one. One plus one equals one as far as God's going. I know it doesn't add up in maths, but that's how God sees it. So that's one thought. God's thought, God's view, and that's how it should be taught. With the emphasis on those two things. Never just the one. Now, submit. Not a great word in today's society. And really, it's never been very good. Simply because, what do we associate it with? Slavery. Subjugation. We know, lack of freedom. Lack of individuality. That's what we associate it with. Hence, sometimes the incorrect teaching on this passage. But the word submit that's used here is a military word. Military word. Oh. So what? I'll tell you what, so what. Because it means rank. It means to arrange under rank. Remember the umbrella? Arranging under rank. Everyone has a role or and a responsibility in the military. I want to ask you this question. Who's more important? The 3, 4, 5-star general or the private that's taking up the ammunition to the front lines? Which one's more important? Think about it. They're both vital. They are both vital. But you know, the general's got the star, so he's more. No. Without the ammo, you get overrun by the enemy. You get defeated. You can lose your life. But that private needs to know where to take the ammunition and when to take the ammunition. Somebody has to tell him where to go. That's the general's job. And that's what this word means. Submitting to authority for a purpose. Not to be better or less important or more important, but responsible for. That's the responsibility. Responsible for something. And so we have perverted and distorted or corrupted this important teaching of this design that God has given us for our homes. Not just our homes, but for our church. Because that's the same thing. We're to submit to the elders. We're to submit, I read it before, to one another. It's talking about church fellowship and relationship. It doesn't mean that you're better than me or I'm better than you. It doesn't mean that at all. You see, we tend to think that submission is a dictatorship. It's controlling. It's lording over people, like in the olden days when you had serfs and peasants. That's the picture that we get. That is not what God is teaching here. That is not God's design. The New Testament gave freedom to women long before feminism. long before the women got the vote, the suffragettes, you know, long before that, they were taken from being chattels, possession. Yeah, the livestock were more important than the wives in the culture of that day. But God elevated them. How? There is no more male or female. There is no more Jew or Greek, bond or free. God says we are all equal. But we're not the same, Elizabeth. We are all equal. God loves us. Start to move away from the things that God has planned, things that God has designed, things that God has set down for his people to follow. What happens? Oh, yeah, they do really well. No, they don't do well. And we're not doing well as a society because we've moved away from the plan of God, the maker, the creator. His plan, we've moved away. Okay, we're back online. We're good? Okay. That was the slide just to show you again, you know, that what that submission means. All right, so we'll get on to... Okay, go back this way. All right. Now, verse 19. Now, I have to hurry because I haven't got time to muck around here now. It says, husbands, love your wives. Now, the women weren't asked to love the husband. I don't think that's fair. Let me explain. Husbands are to love their wives. It says, do not be harsh with them. Now, that word harsh in the NIV shouldn't be there. It should be the same word as it is later on, embittered. It means embittered. They've changed it to harsh. I don't know why. Because embittered is a great word. When you look it up, it means to make someone feel bitter or resentful. Oh, husbands, love your wives and don't do anything that will make them bitter towards you or resentful towards you. See, I'm the cause, aren't I? It's the husband that can cause a lot of that thing. It's not the wife. She's not just a nag. No. She's nagging for a reason. It's usually justified too, isn't it, Gar? Usually. No, you wouldn't know? No. Okay. All right. But it's interesting that word to the husband, that word love, is the word agapio, where we get the word agape. And that's what the wives are meant to submit to. And that word love means a direction of the will finding joy in someone or something. You see? It's the same quality, the same love as this one here. I'm just putting it up there to remind you what love is like in the Bible. Love in the Bible isn't chocolates, flowers, romantic dinners. They're nice, and ladies like that, your wives like that. But that's not love. No? Remember that? All those things that love is. It doesn't get angry. It doesn't keep records of wrongs. You think about that. And then down here, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in what? Truth. That's the love that it's referring to here, and that's how I have to love my wife. And you have to love your wife like that. And husband, let me tell you, when you do this, there is no problem with submission. No problems. At all. That's the design of God. Hurrying on. One of the things that I picked up when I was doing this research, it says that the measure of a man's love for his wife, yeah, is not just seen in the you know, external things like flowers, but in the sacrifice and the concern for her happiness. For her happiness and her welfare. And in other places in the scriptures it talks about, and this is what Christ is doing for the church, for you and me, for her betterment. Right? for her betterment. Now, husbands, guys, are we doing this? Are we doing this? That's one of the problems in the house, wasn't it? It's not just that your wife's not submitting, but are we doing our part? Are we helping her to submit? It's a vital truth that we read this morning, that if a husband truly loves his wife, he will not behave harshly towards her. He won't throw his weight around and keep the wife under the thumb and, you know, restrict the money or what. None of that happens. It's not talking about that. He won't be a brute towards his wife. He won't be abusive verbally, let alone physically. He won't be selfish. In fact, that word, agape, one of the key elements, that it's sacrificial love. The sacrifice of Jesus for the church. We've read about it. We've remembered it. That's the quality. It's to be protective, and it's supposed to seek the best for his wife and his children. And very quickly, the segue to the children, it's something for you here, all right? I wanted to say this. It says their children, obey your parents in everything. Very important. Now, we're very big on children's rights these days, right? And I think that generally it's a good thing. But it's a little bit skew-if, I think, because it's been corrupted, because it's all about the children's rights. What about your responsibility, hey? What about your responsibility? Now, God says that a child has a right to be born, a right to a sound Christian home, a right to be raised with nurturing and training in the things of God, a right to godly parents, a right for safety and protection, to feel safe at home. The child has a right for praying parents. It's very important for parents to pray for their kids. And also, a child has the right for godly discipline from their parents. That's fair. It's necessary. God says it's necessary. But children have a right, but children have a responsibility too, to obey, to submit to the authority of their parents. A child, it says here, a child who does not learn, James Dobson. The other one, I don't know who it was. I've got it written down here. The child who does not learn to obey his parents is not likely to grow up obeying anything or any authority, or anyone. And we clearly have that problem today. Children today don't obey the teachers, the police, the employers, or anyone in authority. And then verse 21, very quickly, it says their fathers, which can be translated parents. It's done that in Hebrews 11. But fathers, it says, parents, make it easier for your children to obey. So remind him to make it easier for you. You see, you can embitter your children too. We can do things as parents that'll turn our kids off from listening to us. So how can we make it easy? That doesn't mean you just let them do whatever they want. By listening carefully to them, by listening carefully, explaining things to them, offering them an alternative or a different option to what you're talking about. Not swinging wildly from being dictatorial to being their best friends and they can get away with it. That doesn't help them. You know, child psychologists tell you that children love boundaries. They want to know what they can do, and they'll test it right up until the edge. But children love boundaries. It gives them structure, but it makes them feel safe in the home. You know, there are kids, children, who do not feel safe at home. That's ridiculous. It's the place you should be feeling safe. I know what that's like. That's the sort of home that I grew up in. The home, and a Christian home in particular, should be a safe and a happy place. It should be the best place. The Christian home should be the best place for the child to be. Absolutely. And the motivation for all of this that we've talked about this morning, time's gone, is back in 17, verse 17 that Josh talked about. I'll just read it to you. And whatever you do, I love that, whatever you do as a Christian, a husband, a wife, a mother, a father, a child, an employee, whatever you do, what does it say? In word or deed, do it all in the name and for the glory of the Lord Jesus. That's the motivational thing. A couple more slides. Oh, I missed that one, sorry. I love this here. I want you to, this is what I want you to leave with, right? Where it talks about in 1 Corinthians 13. Listen to this. You saw that umbrella? There should have been one more. I couldn't find one with one more umbrella because it says in chapter 11, verse 13, but I want you to know, this is Paul, right? I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. You saw that. And the head of every woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. Even the Lord Jesus is under submission to God. He has a role. He has a responsibility to God. You got that? And in Philippians 2 and verse 5 it says, even the Lord was subject to the authority of God. And your attitude and my attitude, your mind and my mind, and it's the same little phrase, should be the same as. Just like we're to love as Christ, we should submit, Chris, as Christ has given us that example to submit. He did the same thing. I mentioned this yesterday to my wife, we are predestined. But we're predestined to conform to the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. We are to become Christ-like in every area and aspect of our life. May the Lord bless you all.